You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Well, good morning once again. We're in the middle of a series entitled A Prayerful Life. So we've been talking about how we can enter into a deeper intimacy with God through prayer. And so today, we're going to be talking about contemplative prayer. At its heart, contemplative prayer is a quest for intimacy with God, to be close with God, to be embraced by God in prayer. And you know, the Bible is full of encouragement to abide in Him, to rest in Him. Let's read a few. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this: come near to God, and He will come near to you. Psalm 46:10 says this: be still and know that I am God. John chapter 15, verse 4 says this. This is Jesus talking. He said, remain in me. Some translation says, abide in me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. We are a branch. We need to be connected to the vine. It must remain in a vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That is to live by the Spirit, to remain in Him. Matthew chapter 11, 28 says this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He's calling us to His presence. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We read this last week, but I wanted to include it this week as well. And we all, this is Apostle Paul talking, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Contemplate the Lord's glory. Are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the call is to contemplate His glory, enter into His presence and contemplate His glory. And as we do that, we get transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. It's an amazing, amazing passage. God is calling us to come near Him, to stop everything and to just be with Him, to abide in Him, to remain in Him, to rest in Him, and to contemplate His glory. This is a beautiful invitation from the Lord to you. He says, I invite you to come. And the best way to actually accept this invitation is to enter into prayer. It's through prayer. Many Christians call this contemplative prayer, and we're going to be talking about what that means and how it could help us deepen our prayer life, learning to truly come to Him, rest in Him, and to see Him, to hear Him. But I want to start with the reality of where many of us are with respect to prayer. For many of us, we're often not in a mood to pray. We get tired, we forget, we're too busy. We're not in the mood to talk to the Creator of the universe. It's not that you and I doubt His existence. It's not that we doubt that He loves us. It's not that we doubt His love for us. It's just that we're just not into prayer that much. And sometimes we sit in a bed, you know, we lie in our bed at the end of the day, and we realize we never spent a moment in prayer during the whole day. But we're too lazy to sit up and actually say a prayer. We know we should pray more and we want to pray more, but we just don't for whatever reason. And we start to feel guilty about not praying, not reading the Bible enough, or not doing my quiet time enough, or etc. We have this sense of guilt about all of these things, and we feel more and more detached from God. And sometimes we even feel like God is angry at us. He's mad at us. Mark Thibodeau wrote a book entitled Armchair Mystic, Easing into Contemplative Prayer. So I highly recommend this book, and I want to let you know that the sermon today is highly influenced by his book, so you might want to go and read it. It's very simple and short, very insightful. He says that oftentimes when we live in this kind of guilt, we start to play games like, does it count? You know, I talked to a Christian friend today. Does that count as prayer? You know, I thought about God on my way to work. Does that count? Is that enough? You know, Kevin's sermon was a little long. Do I get a little bonus for prayer? I know that God was with me all day today. Even though I never thought about him, I know that he's with me. Is that like practicing the presence of God? Does that count? So in his book, he talks about a time in his life when he was just playing these games to avoid praying more. And he just felt kind of frustrated. He didn't want to live that way. But he ended up one day sitting out in the desert, and he asked God, what's wrong with me, God? Why do I do all these things, play all these stupid games just to avoid praying? And as he continued in prayer, he says that he felt God asking this one simple question. Mark, what is it that you desire? Mark, what is it that you desire? It's the same question that Jesus asked the two disciples who started to follow him in the beginning. And Jesus turned to them and said, what is it that you desire? It's the same question that Jesus asked the blind man who came to Jesus and said, what is it that you want? That might be a question that he has for us today. What is it that you desire? Do you want to go deeper in your prayer life, or do you not? Do you just want to continue to play games and trying to justify yourself? You know, if you think about it, I don't think God is trying to guilt us into doing something we don't want to do. I don't think God is trying to guilt you into praying more. I don't think he's up there saying, I can't believe you don't spend any time with me. You should be ashamed of yourself. I don't think he's saying that. I don't think shaming ourselves actually helps us to get close to God. I mean, think about this in the context of any relationship. Let's say that I don't spend enough time with Grace. Grace is my wife. And in fact, let's say that I don't want to spend any time with her, but I feel guilty about it because she's my wife, and I feel like I should spend some time with her. And so out of guilt, I force myself to spend some time with her. How do you think she's going to respond to that? You think she's going to go, oh, honey, I am so glad you guilted yourself into spending more time with me, even though you just absolutely hate to do that. I am so delighted by that. I don't think she's going to do that. And why do we think that if we guilt ourselves into thinking that somehow, guilt ourselves into spending more time with God, somehow God's going to be pleased and satisfied with that? So I'm going to say something to you that sounds kind of counter to Christianity. But I think there's a reason that I'm going to say this. I'm going to declare this to you. You don't have to do it if you really don't want to. You don't have to pray if you really don't want to pray. You're freed. You're released. I mean, if you think about it, that's what the gospel is about, right? We are not under the law. We live by the Spirit. There is no condemnation for those who are in the Spirit. That's what the apostle said. In fact, last week when we talked about the glory of under the law and glory of living in the Spirit and how there's no condemnation, he ends up saying, you are free. And so I am freeing each and every one of us. You are free. You are released. If you don't want to pray, you don't have to pray. Jesus would love you even if you don't. Even if you feel like you can't keep up with the obligation to pray and you feel guilty about it, release you. He loves you anyway. He promises to continue to love you and be with you no matter what. He promises to unconditionally love you. Okay? So let's stop trying to live our prayer life out of obligation or guilt. God would love us regardless. But I believe that God is still asking that one critical question. What is it that you really want? What is it that you really want? Ask yourself that question. Maybe there is something deep inside of you that says, you know, Lord, I know I screw up all the time. I know I don't do it enough. But deep in my heart, Lord, I do want to be with you. I do want to deepen my relationship with you. I want to be with you. That may be the deep desire of your heart. And I believe that desire is the starting point to a deeper spiritual life, deeper prayer life. I don't think you place that desire there. I think God put it in your heart. I think it is a calling from God and saying, I need God. I want to be closer to Him. If that's a yearning in your heart, if that's a desire in your heart, I believe that there is a calling in your life to a deep spiritual life of prayer, to a contemplative prayer. And so let's start this journey of developing this prayer life from where we are now to where God's leading us to. So the first stage of prayer life might start with talking to God. It might start out with just asking for things that we need. We need a job. We need a place to stay. We need a relationship. We need God to help us in our relationship. We need a breakthrough in our finances. We need housing. We need a business deal to work out. We need healing from an illness. These are important things to pray about. God calls us to pray about those things. God never gets tired of hearing our practical needs. God is not some God out there who is so huge that he doesn't care about our practical needs. He's not like that. He cares for your needs and what you need. So God is calling you to pray for those things. And we can pray about all of these things. If you're worried, anxious, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says this, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. God calls us to bring every matter to him. Put it at the feet of the cross. Now, if this is where we stop our prayers, our prayer life gets pretty boring pretty quickly. I mean, you kind of praying and you're thinking, well, I already pray for a promotion, pray for a relationship, I pray for my health, pray for a better life. I think I'm done. I can't believe people pray for hours. What do they do? You know, that's the kind of a sense that you get. You quickly get bored with your prayer life because you feel like you're just repeating yourself after a while. But as we grow in Christ, our prayer life actually begins to shift to others. We continue to pray for our needs. That's important. But we also seek to bless others through prayer. So we start interceding with for other people, our family members. We think about each and every member of our family, our church. We pray for me, your pastor. Pray for TC. Pray for our families. Pray for all of the leaders. Pray for your Grow and Serve group leaders. Pray for Manny. Pray for the leadership team. Pray for the church. Pray for your friends. Pray for the city. Pray for the nation. Pray for what's going on in the political arena. Pray for the government. I believe intercession, especially one for the revival of our heart, the revival of the church, or the revival of the world, is so critical. And things hang in a balance on whether we pray or not. It's not just about converting us, changing us. Things change when we pray. Now, so intercession is critical. But there's more to prayer than just talking to God, petitioning to God. We also listen to God. Prayer is listening to God. As we continue to grow in God, I believe God is calling us to a new level of prayer, listening to God. This doesn't mean we don't talk anymore. It's a conversation. It means that we add a new dimension to our prayer life. So as we grow in any relationship, if you think about it, we become more in every relationship, even a child to a mother or a father. You know, in the beginning, it's much more one way, but as they mature, it's much more a two-way conversation, two-way relationship. Prayer is a conversation. We talk to God, but we also listen to Him. And, you know, a lot of us think that prayer means we talk to God, but we don't actually expect God to respond back. You know, sometimes people tell me, oh, like, you know, I'm praying about this. You know, they talk about it. So, you know, I don't say it because I think it puts them in a spot, but sometimes I want to just ask them, so what did God say? So how did God respond? Because oftentimes we don't expect Him to respond, but God talks to us. John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." God would never get tired of our voices when we talk to Him, but God also wants us to listen to Him. "My sheep listen to my voice." I believe, in a way, God is waiting for a time when you and I stop talking and just pause. And began to say, "Lord," just like Samuel prayed, "speak, for your servant is listening." You know, stop. Look to God and say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." When we start to focus on listening, our focus gradually shifts from our own agenda that we bring to God's agenda, which God brings to us. And I think there are many ways to listen to God through prayers. So what I'm going to suggest is not exhaustive at all. And I believe that this aspect of prayer life is best practiced in solitude, by yourself, in silence. Find a quiet place where you can be alone and where you're not going to be disrupted. And I believe that, and along with many other Christians who taught about contemplative prayers, I believe that the best way to start to listen to God is to pray with Scripture. The Scripture is the most important way in which God talks to us. So pick a psalm or pick a book of the New Testament and read a small portion of it. It's not, you know, when you enter into contemplative prayer, it's not about trying to read the Bible in 1 year. That you can do it on the side in a different schedule. But this is about just marinating on a small portion of the Bible and allowing the Word of God to penetrate into your heart. That's what it is all about. Let me try to get really practical here and share what it might look like. So I often start by finding a place where I can be alone with God, and then as I get settled, maybe with a cup of coffee and just kind of relax, and I start by what people call centering prayer. So for me, it's like this. It says, "Lord, speak to me. I know you're here, O Lord. Thank you for your presence. Speak to me, O Lord. I am listening." And then if I feel disruptions, monkeys jumping around in my brain, I continue to just ask, "Lord, help me quiet my soul so I can listen to you. Help me, O Lord." And I also like to say, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord." I know He's here, but helps me kind of realize that He's here. "Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." So I keep repeating this until my soul has quieted down. And I feel a sense of quietness. Then I pick up the Bible and start reading a passage that I pre-selected before I started. Slowly, deliberately, and reverently. I don't try to make a big progress, like I said, in the amount of the Bible that I'm reading. I just focus on a small passage, and sometimes just on a verse or two. And And I slowly read it over and over again. Eventually, a small part of the passage might start resonating with my heart. So when I feel that, I begin to focus on that part. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's an idea. Maybe it's a sense of something, a verb. And you just kind of begin to focus on that. If it's a word or a phrase, I just say that word or phrase over and over again. And I begin to just kind of visualize it. I take it up in kind of spatially, imaginatively. And I, like, if it's love, I begin to see the word love. And then I begin to move around and try to think about that love in different perspective. What does it mean to love? What is he trying to say? And it's just, I just marinate it, allow the word to just kind of form thoughts and tell me something. Now, let me give you an illustration. Imagine you are at a castle, and so you enter into this castle, and it's pitch black. The room that you enter into is completely black, and you cannot see anything. But you know that there is a door somewhere that leads you to the next room. And so you're trying to feel the walls all around you. You're knocking on it to see if this is the door or the drywall or whatever. You're kind of knocking on it. And you go all around the wall until you hear something different. It feels a little different. And then when you do, you kind of focus on it. And you're trying to look for the crevices that form the door and how you can push it open. So that's kind of like... That's kind of like contemplative prayer. I read a passage over and over, and I imagine each phrase to be another spot on the wall. Eventually, one thought from the passage resonates in a deep way in our heart, and we kind of marinate on that. We dwell on it for a while, and we feel it, and it's almost like we taste it slowly. You swirl the wine, and then you smell it, and you taste it like you're tasting fine wine. And if you're an alcoholic, you can use a different illustration, but you know, you get my sense. And you just stay there. Stay in that moment of the presence of God. Wait for that still, small voice of God to speak. And I find that moment to be a sweet presence of God when God begins to resonate through the Word of God and He's trying to say something to us and we begin to grasp it. In that moment, it's so sweet. That's one way to hear the Word of God, through the Scripture, hear the voice of God through the Scripture. I think praying with Scripture is primary way of listening to God. In fact, many Christians who practice this have constantly went back to contemplative prayer in a context of the Scripture. That's been the primary way throughout history. But it's not the only way. Sometimes you could listen to the voice of our shepherd by writing. That's what Emmanuel journaling was all about. We talked about it last week, and some of our Grow and Serve groups practiced it, and I heard some positive comments about it, and I encourage you to practice it more. For some, writing out what God might be saying to us helps us to organize our thoughts, help us to deepen our thoughts, help us to explore those thoughts, and journaling it just really helps us to get a sense of God's word. Sometimes, after we have quieted ourselves, we can ask Jesus to take us on a journey. So, again, after you center yourself in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, and your soul has quieted down, ask Him a question. Ask Him, so Lord, where do you want to go today? Where do you want to go today? And when you hear a thought, oftentimes as you do this, God leads you through a thought. Maybe you're making it up, maybe it's God's, but just go with it at that point. Just go with it and allow Him to take you wherever He wants to go. I was praying this prayer when I was away at a conference. And Grace had called me earlier that day saying that both Grace and Caitlin heard my voice at home when I wasn't there. And it kind of spooked them because both of them heard it. If it was one of them, they'll just go, eh, you know, But it's both of them that heard it. And so, I don't know, there was a sense of spiritual attack, I felt like. Because I felt like God was doing something, teaching me something at the conference, and I felt like, you know, and I, you know, the devil is trying to attack at home. So I felt a little spooked up by it. And in that context, I entered into a time of prayer. And I asked Jesus where he wanted to go. And I remember that Jesus and I started to fly. You know, Jesus is my superhero. He flies. Kind of like Peter Pan, you know, like flying through the city. Just go with me on this. And and as he was flying, I felt like that, you know, Jesus was bringing me home. And, you know, we swirl around the home and we can see what's going on in the house. But lo and behold, Jesus is in the house. And I said, but then he's with me too. So, like, Jesus, what does this mean? What are you trying to tell me? And then I remember this sense of Jesus saying, I got you. I got your family. Don't worry. I'm with them. But if you think about it, I could have just made all these things up. But you know what? I experienced the truer reality of the presence of God. Jesus was with my family. I just didn't see it. But when I saw it, it brought tears to my eyes, knowing that you are there. To hear him say, I got your family. Don't worry. It was just such a relief. And I shared this with Grace later on that day. And she and I just cried, kind of experiencing God's love and presence through prayer. And, you know, me being able to share that. Now, sometimes after we quieted ourselves, we can ask Jesus to help us run through the day, sort of like viewing the video of your day from the time that you woke up to, you know, to that point in time. It's kind of like, you know, post-game video analysis, you know, football team, they do that, right? They look at every play and they play and they analyze it. And so it's like you have a remote control and you can fast forward or slow down as you wish. So, you know, you're just praying with Jesus and say, Lord, kind of guide me through the day and tell me what I need to think about. So you may be thinking and fast forwarding, and then maybe you'll get to a point and Jesus says, stop. Something in your heart says, stop. And so maybe you just stop there and you begin to listen to Jesus. Maybe it was a conversation you had and you need to think about that. Maybe you were rude. Maybe you need to go apologize. Maybe the Spirit is saying to you, sometimes he says things. And then you go on. Lord, why did you stop me on this? What do you want? Do you have any thoughts about that moment in our day? And sometimes, though, when we look through the day, we don't actually see the presence of Jesus with us as we remember it. And then, you know, as we talked about last week, we can say, Lord, help me to see reality and not just my memory. The reality is that Jesus was with us every moment of our day. And now we need to go and fix our memory and go, oh, when that someone hurt me, Jesus was there holding me. You know, you can begin to see that Jesus has been with you. That is learning to see with the eyes of faith the truer reality that God is calling you to live in his presence. And we can do that as we pray, as we listen to what God has for us. Now, I know that I've been talking a little bit like God talks to us in a way that we can hear if we listen. And you might be asking, so how do we know that this is really the voice of God, or you're just making stuff up? I know I talked about this issue a little bit in my other sermons, but I want to deal with that issue a little bit more extensively today. So, you know, Grace and I have been married for 21 plus years now, and we've known each other for about 26 years. And now Grace could actually just look at me, and I know what she's thinking, and I know what she's feeling. It's true. And but I am much more of a mystery to her. No, I'm just kidding. She reads me like a book. I don't even have to look at her. She knows what I'm thinking. But it wasn't like that in the beginning of our relationship. When we first got to know each other, there was a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of heavy information sharing about our lives, how we think, our perspectives. You know, you do a lot of talking. That's just the natural part of getting to know one another and learning how to, learning to know what the other person is like and how they respond to certain things. But as you grow in the relationship, you can communicate that same feeling with much less trouble. It's true as you grow in the relationship. And the same is true in our relationship with God. In the beginning, we need a lot of stimuli to experience God's voice in our lives. We need to figure out, what are you saying? Just feels like garble. Is this me making? I don't know. There's a lot of these things. You almost feel like, God, can you just like talk to me audibly? Then I'll know for sure. It almost feels like that. I may need concrete signs to understand God's message. But after a while, I may be able to sense what God is saying. And sometimes it's not even words. Sometimes, you know, it could be words. And it's, I forgive you, son. But sometimes there's just this deep sense in our heart that he has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. It's not even, it's just the sense that you get. Now, sometimes we have to learn to distinguish between the distractions, the monkeys that go around in our head, and what God might be saying to us. So how do you distinguish between those things, you might ask? Let me give you an illustration. Let's say I'm taking a cross-country car trip with my best friend, okay? And by the fourth day, you know, I could be really annoyed by silly things like, he turns to a different radio station in the middle of the song, or he listens to country, or something like that, you know? I love country sometimes. But anyway, I could be annoyed by those little things. And if you ask me, so how do you feel about your friends? I could say, oh yeah, this guy is so annoying. I can give you a list of all the things that he does to annoy me. Or I can respond in a different way. I can say, you know, he and I have known each other for a long time, and he's been there for me when things were really tough. And I've been there for him when things were really tough for him, and it's really been a source of encouragement in my life. See, they're both true, right? The guy is an annoying guy, but if you look deeper, there is this deeper reality of friendship, of love and encouragement, right? I think that's how you distinguish the distraction from where God is leading you. We get down to the deeper heart of the matter, and not the chatter of all. What is the heart of the matter? So when I'm praying, there could be a thousand little thoughts and good and bad, but I'm looking for what's in the depth. So if I'm praying over a particular passage, for example, say about Jesus healing a woman, I can think of all sorts of intellectual insights about the passage. I can consider the literary forms, and I can consider the cultural context, the translation, and all of those things. But what I really want to do is to get to the heart of the matter. What is the spiritual core of the story? What's going on in the heart of the women who approached Jesus? And when we get to the heart through contemplative prayer, there we find the voice of God. Get to the heart of the matter and allow it to percolate. And there we find the voice of God. Let me also give you a few more suggestions on how to discern God's voice and stuff that you're making up. First is to seek the revealed word. Nothing you hear can be against the character of Jesus. This is so important. It has to align with the revealed character of God through Jesus Christ. So in order for our contemplative prayer life to work, we have to understand who Jesus is, who God is as revealed in Jesus Christ. We have to have a Christocentric, Christ-centered interpretation of the character of God, that he is the greatest revelation of who God is. And if it's not consistent with Jesus saying it, it's not Jesus. It's not God saying it to us. So you have to really, really get to know who Jesus is. So that means it takes real Bible study. It takes for you to dig into the Bible and really get to know it. It's going to the Bible studies, listening to sermons, whatever it might take, and digging in and really understanding who Jesus is and what he was all about and what his character is like, so that you can just understand what he might say. You know, my daughter Caitlin is really into Sherlock Holmes these days, every form of Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is going crazy these days, I feel like. I mean, just following her. But she is so into it. Sometimes she talks to me and she's quoting Sherlock Holmes. It just comes right out of her, you know? And it's like that. I think if we marinate ourselves in the character and the words of Jesus Christ, we start speaking the words of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so that's very, very important. Make sure that we don't have a wrong picture of God. Sometimes we have this angry God, punishing God, picture of God that is not Christ-centered, revealed picture of God. Jesus is the greatest revelation of God. So if we don't have that, if we get that mixed up, sometimes we get everything else mixed up in our contemplative prayer life. So it's very, very important to be Christ-centered in our understanding of Jesus, understanding of God. And secondly, second way to discern is to go back to God in prayer. So if you feel like God has given you a word or message or a gift to you, a sense, a direction, whatever it might be, through your contemplative prayer, maybe you're praying about direction in your life, and God is kind of leading you in one way, go back to God. Now you're gonna ask God every time you get together with him in prayer and go, Lord, I felt this sense that you're guiding me this way. Can we talk about this a little bit more? So continue to take it back to the altar. You don't have to run with it immediately. It's not, thus says the Lord, it's in the Bible, thou shalt go marry so-and-so. It's you learn to marinate in that, bring it back, and just struggle and wrestle with God. The third way might be journaling. I think prayer journal is a great way to keep track of the words that God is giving you, this grace, the gift that God is giving you. And because sometimes when we receive it, we just receive it in a very raw form. We don't really know what it means sometimes. And so we can write it out and then begin to process it. Maybe we write the question out to God. What are you saying, Lord? Blah, blah, blah. You know, just writing out. And then sometimes you can write from God's perspective and say, my dear child, this is what I mean, and try to process that. It's not thus says the Lord, but it helps you think things through and discern what God may be saying to you. A fourth suggestion is to share with a spiritual mentor. I think it's extremely important that you do this with someone who is more spiritually mature than you, especially if you're a new Christian. You might not be doing this right, particularly because you don't have a clear picture of who God is in Jesus Christ or whatever else it is. You got a lot of things mixed up, mangled up. So you need a spiritual mentor. You need a coach. You need a spiritual director. You need a discipler, a sponsor, someone to help you journey through. Maybe a grow and serve group leader, wherever it might be. I think it's very important for all of us to have someone like that in our lives. So if you don't have one, that might be one of the things that you ask God for. God, can you provide me with a spiritual mentor? Fifth, share with your church communally. Maybe it's your grow and serve group. It's important to test it out in a context of community. Oftentimes our discernment, while it came individually, it's confirmed communally. That's my view of biblical guidance. While it might come individually, it is confirmed communally. And so other people, especially people who love you and know you, may confirm that direction, or they may actually have more questions. Or maybe they're saying, I'm not sure about that. So sometimes you have to come with a humble heart as you seek correction from the community or confirmation from the community. Now, the goal of contemplative prayers, all of these things, is to be with God, to talk to him and to listen to him and be present with him and to be guided by him. I mean, it's beautiful. It's ultimately to enjoy the delight of his presence. This is what living in a spirit is all about. This is what the Bible is constantly saying. We don't live by the law. We live by the Spirit. This is living by the Spirit. And when you do so, God does amazing things. You are transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, the Scripture says. You bear the fruit of the Spirit, the Scripture says. Life happens. Transformation happens. Power to transform our lives happen. Addictions stop. We are guided. But most of all, we get to live in this delightful relationship with God. Now, having said this, I know that for some of us, we have experienced this powerful encounter with God. We have experienced God's presence in our lives, but we feel like we're going through a long period of dryness. Yeah, we don't experience God or hear anything from God in prayer. Maybe some of the things we talked about today will encourage it a little bit more, but some of us, we feel like we've been in a desert for a long time. How do we pray when we feel dry? How do we deal with what St. John of the Cross says is the dark night of the soul? Well, actually, when I prepared the sermon, this was this part two, but I realized this is way too long, so I had to cut it right here. So the part two is coming next week. Next week, how do we deal with our dryness and with respect to prayer life, the dark night of the soul? So come back next week to finish this sermon up. But I want to just end by, come back. This is good. Anyway, I should do this all the time. Just leave you right there. You go. To be continued. Yeah. Anyway, but I want you to just remember, this is this is beautiful, and you will experience beauty, but you're gonna fail. So no beating yourself up. Okay? No beating yourself up. And secondly, I want to also remind you, with respect to spiritual disciplines, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly. Okay? Don't let perfection get in the way of you starting. Okay? Just do it. Maybe you just do it really poorly, you have this picture of contemplative prayer time that's like, whoa, that's going to take like hours, blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe you just do it really poorly and just do it in a few minutes. Just try it. Okay? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that your Spirit is in each and every one of us, and you call us to be with you. Lord, often takes intentionality on our part to just quiet ourselves and to be with you, O Lord, to listen to you. We pray, I pray, O Lord, that you would guide each and every one of us and bring us to your arms so that we can actually experience your presence day to day in a real way, O Lord. Pray that our lives would deepen to an experiential relationship with you, not in a way that is just passionate one moment and cold in another moment, but Lord, help us to sustain a life in which we live in delight of your presence, in which we hear your voice. Oh Lord, help us not to do it out of obligation. Help us to do it out of the desire that your Spirit has given us. Help us to do it out of a calling, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.